Recently on Insight Radio, we featured Wayfinder. It's a technology which is being trialled in London. It's being used on the underground tube system to help blind and partially sighted people navigate their way around independently the various stations and platforms. It's an ongoing project, and Royal London Society for the Blind are part of this. We have with us Catherine Payne from RLSB. Catherine, how did the whole project come about?
So in March 2014, our group of blind young people, the RLSB Youth Forum, came together and produced the Youth Manifesto. And one of the big challenges that they identified being blind and young in London was being able to get around independently. And they wanted to see whether they could use their smartphones, which are so useful to them in all other parts of their lives, to get around the London Underground independently. So we went to Us2, who are a digital product studio, and worked with some of their designers and developers for a six-week project to prototype whether we could use Bluetooth beacons to communicate to smartphones to sort of disseminate these turn-by-turn directions. And then once we'd done that, we went to TfL and said, we've got this really great thing, we think it could work within your stations. And we trialled Pimlico station, and we're now in London Underground trialling it in a more complex system. So in London Euston, we're trying to make it so you can get from any entrance or exit to any platform.
And you've had yourselves and us to helping with the technology, and some funding as well from Google.
Yes, so we're really lucky to receive $1 million of funding from the Google Impact Challenge, which has allowed RLSB and Us2 to come together and form this joint venture to take Wayfinder globally.
We also have with us Rakesh, who's from Transport for London. Rakesh, this sounds a fantastic trial, adding to the accessibility that you already have a great deal of support here on the London Underground network already. You know, people can turn up and go at stations and get assistance. But do you think it's good giving people that chance to do it all independently?
I think so. I mean, the turn up and go service is something that, you know, London Underground is really proud to always have there for the customers. I actually run a technology and innovation team, so we knew that sort of navigation technology was something that was really becoming prevalent. Lots of people are looking at it, and we were actually approached by a number of different companies at the time. And so our thoughts were that if it can help certain segments of the visually impaired community, then we should definitely go for it.
Tell us about the technology itself. How does it work?
Let me sort of start off with the reasons that we really wanted to explore it initially were, from a user perspective, we didn't want to get hung on the technology right at the beginning. So the first part's really about understanding what it is that the users actually wanted. So when I would speak to different visually impaired people, some would want really, really sort of finite TomTom style directions to, you know, turn 45 degrees to the right and two steps forwards, whereas others just wanted context information. So really our approach at Pimlico was that we really wanted to understand what audible messages the visually impaired users would need, and what sort of furniture and what sort of spatial entities that those would need to emanate from in an underground environment. And we started to understand a lot more about supplementing the existing tools and cognitive skills that visually impaired people already had. So in effect, that was one of the things which drove us to start looking at Bowden conducting headphones as a means to transmit the audio. So rather than covering up the sort of natural environmental sounds, we're trying to supplement that with these instructions and not hinder them. So from the user's point of view, the technology is around headphones to transmit without blocking any of that oral sort of space, using a smartphone, which is very, very readily available and very low cost in terms of any other sort of radio frequency type reception kit, things that most people have. And then at Pimlico, we used Bluetooth beacons because at the time we thought that that would be a good way to instrument the site, really understand what the messaging was. In actual fact, you know, we would still be interested in pushing that to make sure that we're keeping up with technology movements in Wi-Fi and other sorts of underground navigation systems, which are really being developed at a very, very rapid pace.
So in essence, you have your smartphone, which will get information from the beacons, and in turn you'll get voice instructions which would tell you how to get to certain places, or mm-hmm. as you're passing certain junctions, etc. Presumably that's something which would have to be maintained and updated on a regular basis as well, so some ongoing work mm-hmm. continually.
Correct. I mean, and that's what really prompted us. I mean, when we did the Pimlico trials, it was a resounding success in terms of all the people that we trialed the system with were genuinely... It was one of those things where you really had to be there. You had to see the reaction and response. So then we were convinced that, right, there is definitely something in this. And the reason that we did Euston was, as Catherine mentioned, Euston is like a little rabbit warren down there, even for... You know, fully mobile and fully sighted people, it's a difficult place to navigate, so we really wanted to challenge the complexity. But what we've done is we've focused a lot on the Euston trial around what it would take to operate and maintain that sort of infrastructure to provide a system like Wayfinder.
And you're using off-the-shelf technology, you're not reinventing the wheel, so presumably cost-wise it's probably quite acceptable. It's just really maintaining that and keeping it up to standard.
Correct, that's it. What we loved about it was that simplicity. The thing that really spoke to us was that the whole premise is that it's all about open standards, actually. So, as you say, it's off-the-shelf hardware, which is relatively inexpensive, but then that's also coupled with the ability that we now have to open this up as an open standard and allow other developers to actually utilize that infrastructure to build their own solutions. So, in effect, the market decides on which sort of apps or interfaces the visually impaired community really like and they choose to utilize. So, in that way, we're stimulating a whole other sort of area of innovation that where we aren't the experts in. You know, we're not necessarily the best and quickest ones at developing all that front-end technology, but we're definitely doing our bit by making sure that the infrastructure is there.
We also have with us Tom Pay, who's a chief exec of the Royal London Society for the Blind. Tom, you know, you and I are both blind and we both use technology to get around, but this is really the next step when it comes to independent mobility, because at the end of the day, you really want to do things on your own.
Yeah, well, I mean, the problem with any transport system, certainly one as complex as London Underground, is that people like you and I, we can learn a couple of routes, so we're pretty much restricted to those routes if we want to go somewhere. The thing that was great, because I tested the Wayfinder system, was you just have that confidence that if you start out, you're going to get where you want to go, and you're going to be able to get back. You know, once TfL, hopefully, take the decision to roll this out across London, there isn't any place in London that I can go whenever I want. And all I need is a smartphone and an earpiece. You know, I don't need another pocket full of gadgets or wearing stuff on my head or behind my ear in order to get around. I just need what I would carry with me normally. And it's not costing me any more money. And as TfL said, it's not costing them an awful lot of money either. But this is a win-win. I mean, have you ever seen a piece of blind technology that works and it doesn't cost people an enormous amount of money?
And as Rakesh said, Tom, that, you know, this isn't replacing the turn-up-and-go. It merely complements that and people therefore have a choice.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, people have choices about their primary mobility aid, and certainly, you know, TfL, I have to say, to spare their blushes, are probably one of the best transport systems in the world for taking care of blind people. And what they see is this is adding to that quality rather than maybe taking away from something, some other part of the quality. So I think this is just a win-win all around.
Yeah. What was the feedback like from the other people who have trialled it as well? Was it quite positive?
Yeah, well, a good old friend of yours and mine, Peter Barker, who is perhaps one of the great accessibility experts in the world, he tried it and he sent me an email that said, Tom, can I just say that your dream and mine seems to have come true?
It's a great testimony. Catherine, you know, Tom's tried it. You've had guys from RLSB trying this. You've had an expert in accessibility trialing it. And they all say, yes, this is it. This gives us what we want. It must be great to know that even at this stage, you're having such an impact.
I mean, definitely, and especially with the impetus at the beginning coming from my youth forum, it's great for us as RLSB, for Wayfinder and for them to be able to say that they have done something that's made such an impact already on vision impaired people's lives. And with the investment from Google and the support from TfL, you know, we can go so much further and really make a difference.
Just finally, Catherine, if people would like more information on Wayfinder and keep up to date with all the goings-on, how did they get in touch?
You can find us on the internet at wayfinder.net, and if you go, I think it's right down to the bottom, you can sign up for updates, and then we'll let you know everything that we're getting up to and how people can get involved.
Catherine, we'll continue to let our listeners know the progress of Wayfinder. For the moment, though, to Catherine, Rakesh and to Tom, thank you all for speaking with us on Insight Radio.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alan.